We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Molly and Haw.
Biggs time. The Biggs Report. With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. Biggsy!
Hey, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, there's so many different angles to take, and we'll get to all of it, but... I was saying to David before we went to the break that the Rams now have lost two games, and both on the road, both to what you would have to say are top contenders in the NFC. They lost at New Orleans, and they lost at Chicago, and they now, I think it's Philadelphia this week, they really kind of need to get back on the winning track. As much as they've clinched everything, they need to make sure that they get that bye, that they get that ability to play at home and maybe try to get back ahead of New Orleans, because obviously they've already lost on the road to these teams.
Yeah, and I think the Saints have a little bit tougher road ahead than the Rams, but it's not nearly as tough as maybe you would have thought it was a month ago. And I say that because the Rams have the Eagles, and then they close out against a couple NFC West cupcakes, the 49ers and the Cardinals, whereas the Saints have to play the Panthers this week, and then they have
Pittsburgh,
a date with the Steelers, and then the Panthers again.
Now, both those teams have fallen apart, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what you're trying to figure out, I think, with the Steelers. They've lost three straight after winning five in a row, and there are clearly some issues there. I mean, you don't go into Oakland and lose to the Raiders without having some problems. So, absolutely, yeah, Pittsburgh's got some issues right now, and the Panthers are in, I think what is fair to say, is a free fall right now. So, like, that's why I say that a month ago, that end of the schedule looked pretty challenging for the Saints. Now, not quite as difficult, but hey, the Saints had an awful time at Dallas 2 weeks ago and laid an egg in the first half at Tampa on Sunday. The Buccaneers held a 14-3 lead at halftime before the Saints offense finally got going and put some points up, 25 points in the back half of the third quarter and then the fourth quarter to put that game away. So that's going to be interesting to watch. Do the Bears still have a shot at it? Yes, they do. They would have to win out, and you know those other teams are going to have to stumble because they're both two games ahead of the Bears.
What's going to be different about this week, Brad? I mean, can the Bears handle success? Because there's a fear that, you know, as Mully and I talked about earlier, okay, they go and the Packers come into town. They still have to prove they beat Green Bay. The Mike McCarthy era has not been kind to the Bears. He's gone now, but now you're a team that you're coming off one of your biggest victories in years. How do you sustain that momentum? Your magic number is one. What do you think that you're looking for in terms of keys this week, how they handle success?
Well, yeah, certainly that's a fair question, but I think earlier this year, they did a pretty good job of proving that they could handle success with the winning streak they put together. Granted, defeating the team with the best record in the NFL and the Rams, it qualifies as a bigger win than anything they had during that streak. But yeah, there's an element of concern there for that. I think, you know, more so, I would look at it and say, hey, can they get the offense clicking a little bit here? You know, can they be sharper? Can they sustain drives? Can they put more points on the board? Yeah, you're worried, I guess, a little bit about a letdown, but they need to get the offense clicking a little bit, because there could be another decent wild card team in that NFC field. I don't know that there's going to be two good ones. We saw an interesting game last night where the Seahawks came very close to posting a home shutout over the Vikings before Minnesota scored and really what amounted to garbage time. Seattle playing much better than it was earlier in the year when it came to Soldier Field.
Brad, you talked about James Daniels before the game or after the game yesterday, and we're going to go back and watch the tape and see what happens, and you're right about him today. Really an impressive performance and a great job by the coaches, too, putting together. You know, Harry Hiestand did a great job with that group, and watching the tape myself, I was really surprised at how much time that Mitch had. I know he was under pressure at different points, but the interceptions were really more about him throwing off a back foot or sailing a ball as opposed to him, you know, it seemed like with the Bears or with the Rams, Jared Goff was under pressure getting hit as he threw. It was a different deal with Trubisky.
Yeah, they did a really nice job on Aaron Donald. They got a lot of help to him. You know, a lot of times you'd see four hands on Aaron Donald during the play, and I'm not talking about hands that are holding them. They just had two guys blocking them. Daniels and Brian Witzman each solo blocked him at times, but I would say that the majority of those plays were either very quick passes where the ball was coming out immediately, for instance, on a wide receiver screen or something of that nature, or you know, quick-hitting run plays that were going the other direction. Cody Whitehair, the center, turned to help quite a bit. They got help from the tackles. And I think maybe the most impressive thing Daniels did was he knew where his help was, and he was able to use it. And by that, I mean if Whitehair is his help on the play, and that's to the inside, he didn't fall for an inside move from Donald and then have Donald go right around his outside shoulder and basically take Whitehair out of the play. The guy can't help you if he can't get to the guy at all. So pretty good stuff from a super young player. James Daniels turned 21 earlier this season, so he's smart. We've seen how powerful he can be. You know, they've got a really nice young player there in James Daniels, and he played well. And I think it's worth pointing out that Witzman, who really struggled in that loss at the Giants, played better, and that's the difference. You talk about playing at home and things of that nature. A big part of that is the difference for offensive linemen playing a home game versus playing a game on the road.
This segment of the Mully and Haw Show brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Brad, you know, last night you mentioned the Seahawks and the Vikings game, and that was a defensive struggle, and the Seahawks defense was very strong. You look at what the Bears did, certainly. The Cowboys against the Saints a couple weeks ago. The Ravens played really well against the Chiefs. They had to bail it out late with the Mahomes miracle. What's going on? I mean, is this something that you think is just reminding people about the value of defense in December? Is this sustainable in the playoffs? Because this was supposed to be the year of, you know, 54-51, and everybody's celebrating the offensive revolution in the NFL.
Yeah, well, it just shows. I think it goes to show you that really good defense can give significant problems to even the best offenses. That's what we're learning here, and you know, defense is still in vogue, and fortunately, it resides at Hallis Hall this season. I still, you know, think the Bears are going to have to be better, though, because, you know, we talked about the win over the Rams, and that was a close game. That was at home. That game in L.A. or that game at a neutral site, and they're probably going to have to be a little bit better than they were, but I think it's refreshing, and it's certainly a sign that while there's been a lot of rule changes over a long period of time that all seem to favor the offensive side of the ball and more scoring and that type of thing, that you can still put together a defense that can play a game that has a score reflective of maybe what your father was accustomed to seeing when he watched football.
This segment with Brad Biggs is brought to you by Webb Chevy. Searching for a great deal on Chevys in Chicago? Visit Webb Chevy in Plainfield or Oak Lawn.
Brad, we were talking about the Father Christmas player, whatever they're calling it, where they bring in four defensive linemen, and you look at the amount of beef on the field, and you know that they have to run the ball because they don't have any kind of speed on the field. They don't have any other – there's no skill position players but the quarterback. And obviously, you got the great touchdown catch by Sol and all the rest of it. If that doesn't work – and somehow the Rams end up with the ball, who's stopping them from going the other way? Like,
yeah, nobody.
That was nuts in a way. I mean, it's great play. It works. And you sit there and you marvel at it and everything's fun and all that. But boy, that's risky.
By the same token, why would you have a defensive back in the game if you're the Rams? Why would you have anybody under 200 pounds in the game?
Well, they quick snapped you. Oh, no. That was a different play.
Yeah, that's a great point on if there's a turnover there, it's the barn door is open and they're gone. And it's very similar to the returns you see on the missed field goals, okay?
Right.
That if you can catch a missed field goal in the end zone, you've got a chance because they've got a bunch of guys out there that are just big guys to protect the kicker for your field goal team, and the Bears fans have certainly seen that play work. Yeah, you could question what the Bears did, but they scored. You know, I sort of question Akeem Hicks running on fourth down the week before against the Giants. He scored, so he's pulling out these different plays, seemingly one a little bit more exotic than the next, and it really gets to the point that you're sitting there and you're wondering, what in the world are we going to see next week? What will he break? I mean, yeah, he broke out the T formation for the first snap of the season against the Packers. Rematch with the Packers at Soldier Field with a chance to clinch the division. The stakes are raised. What's Matt Nagy have in store this week?
It's a fun thing to contemplate. All right, Biggsy, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brad.
All right, guys, have a great day.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs. That's fun.
I think he's got Akeem Hicks, you know, throwing the ball. That's next.
When we come back,
now that we talk about it, now it won't happen.
We'll be talking to Akeem in 7:40. We'll ask him. He'll tell us, right? Hey, how's everything going? How's your arm? What happens? How do you handle it when the greatest honor of your life becomes a point of contention?
That's a good question.
Mully and Hall on the score.
For both of you gentlemen, I know today is very meaningful to you. I wonder if there's someone in your life who this day is as meaningful or more meaningful. Maybe the better way to ask this is, who is proudest of you today in your lives?
Probably my family, my wife, my four kids, my own mother.
Well, you can't go anywhere without...
Lee, I ain't done yet, Lee.
You done?
No. My father's not here. And that's... He's my hero. That's the only thing I miss. Is him not being here. All yours, Lee.
Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. A very emotional moment yesterday.
Wow.
Harold Baines talking about his late father and the fact that he's gone and won't see his son go into the Hall of Fame and what it would mean to his dad. And, you know, really moving moment and certainly very emotional thing. And really, for Harold Baines, it got to be one of the great life accomplishments to get into the Hall of Fame.
Without a doubt.
And yet, the response to it has been universally critical of his selection. And Harold is regarded, I've heard people say the Hall of Fame will never be the same, that it's now the Hall of the Very Good. He doesn't deserve to be in it. This is kind of the universal feeling from a lot of baseball people that that the committee that elected Harold was led by Tony La Russa, who was a former manager of his in two different stops, mm-hmm. that Harold was a designated hitter for the majority of his career, mm-hmm. that Harold had the backing of Jerry Reinsdorf, and there were a lot of arms twisted, a lot of people influenced, and that Harold, when the voters were – when the baseball writers were trying to decide who goes into the Hall of Fame, and again, that is a very difficult process to get in. He never got more than 6.2% of the vote. You need 75% to get into the Hall of Fame. And so a man that universally wasn't regarded as a Hall of Famer gets in.
He got in, and look, you listen to him, and it was difficult, and you feel for him because this is a guy who's known for being stoic. And for him to have that kind of public display of emotion, you know how deeply it touched him. And I found myself yesterday, when the news came out, you know, you're happy for the person because you get to know Harold Baines and you deal with him from our standpoint, you know, from a professional standpoint, and he's always been the consummate pro, understated, the guy that you know has never been a problem. So yeah, you are happy for the person. Look, I understand all the analytical arguments. I don't know that I would have voted him in. I don't think that I could justify that, and I, you know, the argument that has come out, you know, from a number standpoint is defensible, and I understand why people would have this sort of reaction to it, or at least oppose it. What I don't understand is why, and I don't like, and I found myself being a little bit more defensive yesterday when having these conversations, is that you're disparaging a guy who has done nothing to deserve that, and you're disparaging a guy. He's become this sort of symbol of the Hall of Very Good and what's wrong with the process and all these things that I don't think is fair and representative of what Harold Baines really is. And that's the unfortunate part of people in Chicago who appreciate just how much class Harold Baines represents. And so I don't like that. And I don't like having an emotional moment. And I think the way that you worded it before the break was interesting. You know, this is his lifetime achievement.
Yep.
This is the pinnacle of his success. And for it to be remembered like this is unfortunate. And I think that's what I wish wasn't the case. I mean, analytics, yeah. It's hard to come up with an argument and in this day and age where analytics are, you know, revered. And you that's not, you're not going to have that argument. But the other argument, well, you know, it happens.
JAWS is a system that was developed by Jay Jaffe, a writer who says he's figured out a way to take a player's career value as the average of his career WAR and his peak WAR, defined as the sum of his best seven seasons. And he ranks Harold Baines 74th among players whose primary position was right field. And basically, he's three spots ahead of Nick Markakis, if that is a way of looking at it that makes sense to you.
How do you feel about it? Do you think he deserves to be in?
You know, listen, good for Harold Baines. I think it's great that Harold got in. He's a great guy. I get it. I understand that the argument for him comes down to longevity mm-hmm. and really little else. And that's probably why people are responding in the way that they've responded.
He was a household name for 15 years.
And here in Chicago.
In Chicago. But I think
but
in baseball.
He played forever. He played.
Yeah, he was a fixture in the game for that long. And I think, you know, is that enough? Well, it probably should not be. And from a baseball perspective, if you're looking just at the statistics and the analytics and those kind of things that you mentioned. And, you know, everybody has, you mentioned Markakis. And when you talk about offensive WAR, baseballreference.com ranks him 293rd. Behind Jason Kendall. Okay. So
yeah.
When you look
Harold's JAWS score is 30.1 compared to most Hall of Famers. The average for a right field Hall of Famer is 57.8. So he's about halfway there, according to this statistic, a way of measuring Hall of Fame capability, David.
Does it make you look at the process any differently? Will it affect how you view, you know, the Hall in general?
I think that the process will be looked at again. Yeah, and you know what? I mean, I hate to say it, but Lee Smith is there with him on the stage, and he has to finish up and let Lee go. You can argue that Lee Smith has no business being in the Hall of Fame either. He's a marginal candidate as well. So it's,
I think he's got a stronger baseball argument than probably Harold Baines.
Yeah, because you know, when he retired, he was the saves leader.
He had more saves than anybody who had ever done his job. He had done it better than anybody else, and I felt like that was why he could make that claim at that point.
No. That's the problem. Because he had the highest number of saves doesn't mean that he did it. David, you're right.
Who let him in?
I don't know.
He just turned my own mic on. I learned how to do that at the Illinois media.
Is he allowed to do that?
Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
As of now.
Go ahead.
I might not be able to at the after I have
what I disagree.
No, I welcome that.
My point is that he did it the best of, just because he had the highest number of saves didn't mean he did it the best of anybody who's done it before him or during him or ever. I David, I'm sure you did too, but I anguished through lots of Lee Smith blowing saves and Lee Smith saves. The eye test was he was good, not great. Good, not great. The Hall of Fame is supposed to be for the greats, not right. The goods.
That, and as we said, that's the argument that it's now the Hall of Very Good. It's not the Hall of Fame anymore because Harold's ruined everything for everyone forever. He's poisoned.
Evidently.
Well.
I mean, here's the question, David. If he's the fourth, he is. It's not if he is. He the fourth all-time leader in saves. Why in the world did it take this committee then to get him in?
Did he change the position? Did he make it? Did you want to have a guy like Lee Smith? Did he? Yeah, was he just a part of? Or was he just another guy? Could anybody have done what he did?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think anybody could. No, absolutely not. No, not anybody. That's why, again, he's good but not great.
The reason it took so long is because so many against putting DHs in and against putting closers in. And for both guys, you can say, well, they're compiling stats. It's because they were in the game a very long time. So where do you fall? Is it about the longevity or is it about the prime? Did you dominate in your sport for, I don't know, 8 years or something to that? And Lou Pinella is one vote away. So
yes, one
he's
going to
get in, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
you would think.
Does he deserve to be in?
Well, it's the Hall of Baines now. It's not the Hall of Fame. So you tell me.
No. No to all of them.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. Interesting. I was looking at Pro Football Focus and their highest team grades for the Bears, and all defensive players: Khalil Mack 87.3, Eddie Jackson 85.6, an 85 for Akeem Hicks, Sherrick McManus an 82, and Prince with an 81.5. We probably haven't talked enough about McManus and his performance when Bryce Callahan leaves that game with an injury.
That's the name that stood out as being a surprise. You don't expect him to be among those leaders. The other guys have been most of the season.
Right.
McManus steps in after Callahan goes down with a foot injury. And as a veteran you can trust, plays the game of the year for him.
Yeah.
Leads the team in tackles.
Unbelievable.
There's no drop off there, and against that offense and those conditions, that was a big game. So yeah, that you mention those names and you read them off, and it's like, boy, who are you missing? Because everybody, it seemed like, on that defense had a good game.
You're missing Kyle Fuller. I'd be curious if he was right behind that, because I thought he had a real good game too. And I think, David, you know, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. 14 different guys make a tackle, right? Your backup nickel ends up leading you in tackles. Three different guys get a sack. Four different guys get an interception. And there's no crossover between the sacks and the interception. You're talking about the majority of the defense making an impact in that game one way or another, a big play of some sort.
Kyle Fuller made a big pick because the Bears had just given turned the ball over. And, you know, when he makes a play like that, again, he's playing downhill. All these corners.
That was the game, wasn't it?
That was the game because with the Rams getting a turnover there, creating more doubt in the offense that wasn't playing well at the time, if they score, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, they maybe get a little bit of a confidence going. Maybe Goff comes out of whatever cocoon he was in and spent most of the night. And maybe it's a different outcome, because I thought that was, there were a lot of great plays that happened. There were a lot of memorable moments in that game. Yep. The defensive play of the game might have been Kyle Fuller's pick.
I think it was more like him coming out of the igloo. I felt like he was trying
Goff?
Anything. Yes. Yeah. I mean, again, when a guy is running to the sidelines during a break to try to warm up, and he's got his hands in his little pouch the entirety of his performance.
We talk a lot about body language in quarterbacks, and that speaks volumes as well. The fact that this guy looks cold, he looks like he doesn't want to be there. He looks like he'd rather be anywhere else but in the huddle.
Did you feel that he wanted no part of the weather or no part of the Bears defense, no part of getting hit in the weather?
I think probably one is related to the other.
Okay.
I think if they were playing, a team that they were moving the ball up and down the field against, moving the chains, and Todd Gurley was finding openings, it would have been a little bit more warm in the huddle. But when you're playing against a defense that's chasing you all over the field and you're seeing Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks, bearing down on you in the pocket and it's collapsing, all of a sudden it feels a little bit chillier.
And one of the questions that we asked this morning, with the Bears as the third seed in the NFC and, of course, the Rams as the second seed, is whether or not you believe that the two teams are on a collision course, and would you want to see the Rams again, this time in Los Angeles, and how would that game turn out? What would he be like? He's 30 points better at home than he is on the road, but what the hell was his rating? It was like, was it negative? It was in the 20s.
19.9.
Okay, so
he'd be more efficient.
If he's 39.9, can that beat the Bears?
He was 19.99, and that's no bargain. Okay. Yeah, you need Jared Goff for the Rams standpoint to play better when they take on the Eagles at home this week. Eagles, Cardinals, 49ers left. Their schedule's agreeable if you're waiting for them to take another step backward and catch them, for that maybe number two seed if you're the Bears. I don't know if that's going to happen.
No, I feel like that. I feel like that ship kind of left the port in New York when the Bears lost in overtime.
Might not matter anyway, though.
Yeah, it might not matter at all.
Take care of your own business.
Yeah, it's just that was something to consider. All right, let's get out to the phone lines. We've got Akeem Hicks. Good morning, Akeem. How are you?
Morning, Akeem.
Good morning. Morning.
Hey, congratulations. Just a fantastic victory. I think, we all know that the house was rocking, and we know that you guys were rocking even more. Did you surprise yourself in any way, Akeem, with how dominant your defensive performance was, something that people said wasn't possible in the modern NFL?
As far as playing a defensive game and winning. That comment was made a bunch of times, right? They talked about how just a few weeks ago they had a 40-50-point battle with them, with another dominant offense.
54-51,
My opinion is this. I feel like there can be, you can still play good, hard-nosed defensive football in this league and expect to win a lot of games. And I think that we showed that this weekend.
Akeem, another week, another memorable play in the backfield. How does it feel being a decoy in this offense?
Man, it's getting to be more and more fun, man. Like I said a week ago, I've never played offense, so for me to have a back-to-back weeks with offensive reps, it's getting kind of fun. Also, Brad, man, he just jumped up there and snatched that ball out of the air. That was one of the more graceful things that I've ever seen an offensive lineman do. It was a fun night.
So what's next? You're gonna throw the ball? How's your arm feeling?
Oh, come on, hold on now. Listen, that's a lot. That's asking a lot from the big fella. I don't know, man. But Coach Nagy will try just about anything to win the game. So we'll see.
Okay, so you guys limit a team that's averaging 35 points a game to 6, and we look at the numbers here from this defense, and we talked about it. You're one of three guys with a sack. There were four different guys with an interception. There are 14 guys making tackles. It just seemed like every time you turned around, one of your group was making a play. And what's impressive is, we talk with you all the time about the defensive line and that level is where defense begins. But you got plays being made in the second level with the linebacking core and certainly in the secondary as well. I mean, you know, I hate to put a Malecki on anyone, but there's no area of weakness. It's amazing to see every level of defense performing at a high level.
Yeah, man, it's what we felt going into OTAs, what we felt going into training camp, is that just when we have a number of playmakers, right? You can just go down the list. One thing that we can focus on going forward, though, is just being, like we did this past weekend, is finishing out those fourth quarters. I think if we played all of our fourth quarters throughout the year the way we did last night, we wouldn't have had four losses already, you know? It's all about the finish, and I think we're learning that as a group now.
Akeem, looking at that game from our vantage point, it looked like at times Jared Goff did not want to be there. He looked cold. He looked intimidated. Did you see the same thing?
No. You know, some people have said that he was frustrated. And honestly, man, as loud as Huddersfield was last night, that last thing I was thinking about was how Jared Goff felt about playing that game.
Well, you know, I don't know. There's not a statistic for this, but at one point you're taking your offensive lineman and throwing him into Goff as he's throwing a pass, which ends up in an interception, right? You're hitting him after the throw, and that's, you know, I mean, perfectly legal play, but that's causing an interception. It seems like we ought to have forced interception as a statistic, because there would be even more reason to vote you to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah. No, if we did that, they would turn around and do four sacks for DBs for great coverage. You know? But, yeah, man.
So, Kim, you've been here a couple years now, and I would imagine that was the loudest that you could remember. How much do you attribute, you know, the crowd? Do you guys feed off the crowd? And what do you think about the new air raid siren?
How much do we feed off the crowd, man? It's what's nice, like last night. Not last night. See, look, I'm still high off of it. What's nice, like we've had over the past couple weeks in the stadium, man, it's a huge advantage. It reminds me of when I used to have to go to play Seattle when they had a 12th man rocket. Man, our stadium is just getting hectic, and it's getting frustrating for people to play there. So it's a huge benefit, and we love it. And we can't wait to have a home playoff game.
Did the siren scare you?
Honestly, I didn't even hear him.
You're in the zone.
In the zone.
So help us out a little bit. You know, we remember the first game of the season. It was a long time ago. But we remember that it was Rodgers coming back from the injury and a big fourth quarter for them. And you talked about finishing a little bit. How excited, knowing that the Packers are the big rival, how excited are you to have them coming in with a chance to clinch the division? Which one is as exciting as the other?
Well, I think that nobody forgot Aaron's little comments on after they lost that big game, where they said all we got to do is win out and go to Soldier Field and win like we've done a bunch in the past. I'm real excited for Aaron to come down here and play this game.
This segment with Akeem Hicks is brought to you by Ford, inviting you to visit your local Ford store or buyfordnow.com. Akeem, does that help guard against a letdown? I mean, you're coming off one of the biggest victories at Soldier Field in years, and yet it's the Packers, and yet you do have some bulletin board material there that you could use as fuel. Do you plan to use it?
We plan on going out there and playing good Chicago Bear football, tough defensively, got a lot of things for you on offense, as you've seen, and having a good game. We'll never forget, or we would hope that we would never forget, that you know, the way to play this game, and that is just be prepared throughout the week, come in there on Sunday, and go to work.
I'm curious to get your opinion of the game that Sharique McManus had. He was forced into action when Bryce Callahan went out, and he wound up leading you guys in tackles for the game. And again, everyone was making contributions. So to see somebody that wasn't expected lead you in tackles must have been pretty special.
Sharique is just a baller. His production, you know, the per play he gets and the amount of production that he has, it's probably something ridiculous. Every time he's on the field, he's making a play. It's we know we have that type of player, you know. And when Bryce went down, and which was hard for all of us, he was able to step up and perform well and at a high level, and that just goes into how well he prepared during the week.
You know, Keem, I know you can't tell us what's next in terms of your role in the offense, but I guess if you take us back to last Friday, you know, we heard from Matt or from Coach Nagy about how he incorporated the player, implemented it last week. How when he's doing this, where are you? Is it the full team meeting, and what's going through your head when you're seeing, you know, a play being drawn up like this with four defensive linemen in the offensive huddle and it being called Santa's sleigh? Do you have to stifle laughter?
It's very enjoyable, and guys get a kick out of it, right? Anytime people are defensive players are in the offensive huddle, they're going to get a kick out of it. And then especially our guys on defense, they're looking and watching to see if one of us or who's going to get the ball or what's going to happen. It's fun, man. It makes playing football fun, and it makes watching football fun. So we're always excited for the next play.
The Bears have released video of Club Dub, as you call it, everybody dancing, and you're front and center. And then Matt Nagy is talking, and he's leading the cheer, and then they bring in Vic Fangio, and Vic is part of the postgame party. Is he always a part of that postgame party? Was that a special thing to have him involved? And we don't think of him as the party guy.
And can he dance?
Yeah.
We're always – everybody's invited to Club Dub. Put it that way. Everybody's invited.
David and I will be there on Sunday. Thank you.
Right. It just makes up. So Nagy's thing with that is just enjoying every win, right, and how special and how hard it is to get him in the NFL. And so just enjoying him and making memories, man. That's how I feel when we do it. We're making memories. That's going to last us a lifetime.
How glad
are you?
There it is. How happy are you that Sunday's kickoff is noon, so you don't have to wait all day to eat again? I heard you talking about you ate at 8 a.m. and had to wait, and that's why you don't like night games.
Yeah, no. It makes me love them, right?
Oh, okay.
Because I get to prepare the entire day. But do I not like to eat all day? No, but I just can't play on anything on my stomach. But I'm excited, man. I do enjoy the flexes, and we've been enjoying the positions that we've been in. But it'll be nice to get back out there at noon and have some time to rest.
Is it accurate to say that the way that you have beaten guys in practice has toughened them up to the point where they could shut down Aaron Donald? Is that what we saw in this game?
We saw an awesome performance by our rookie James Daniels and those boys over there. I got to tell you, they knew they had a challenge coming into this game. And they stepped up to that challenge. Make no mistake, they have two of the best interior defensive linemen in this league. And, I was so proud of him. When we came back to the locker room, I had to tell him just personally, man, you played a great game to keep him, you know, not statless, but just without as productive of a game as he usually has.
Akeem, we'll let you go, and thank you for the time. You're getting a ton of messages here. A lot of people saying thank you, but a lot of people are very excited that you want to reintroduce yourself to Aaron Rodgers. That's going to be
Packer
a
week.
Happy moment for Bear fans.
Good deal, guys.
Take care, man.
Thanks.
That's Akeem Hicks, Bears extraordinary defensive lineman.
I had almost forgotten that Aaron Rodgers had said that.
I love that he didn't.
I know.
That is fantastic.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Like, you don't get, well, it's going to be the next game and we have to stay focused. No, he's like, do you remember what he said when he's talking about going to Soldier Field?
Oh, boy. All right, we're going to bring in Coach Wannstedt next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.